So help us, Lord, to serve you fully in all of our lives and to think today together about what it means to be family and serving you together in your church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do take a seat. Thank you very much to Johnny and the ever-expanding band and David, first Sunday playing. Really delighted to have you up there on stage. A real difference to real people in real ways. Of course, there's two questions we want to put in all of our minds this morning about what can I give and where can I serve. But underpinning it is the statement that it's a real difference to real people in real ways. I remember a fantastic conversation with a young 15, 16-year-old girl, teenager, as she was then, talking about the Monday night bands and band practice. And she was talking to me about what is a pretty difficult and traumatic experience of her home life and her school life. And then she said to me, but when I come on a Monday night, that is the place, the only place in my life, Alex, I feel safe and feel like someone cares. A real difference to real people in real lives. Or it's the young woman who left school at 16, 15 years old, without any qualifications from that education experience, got a reasonably good job, working at a shop front, but had always dreamed of being a nursery nurse, an early years practitioner. And after having her two children, now well into primary school, we were able to give her the work experience necessary so that over this September, she started on that qualification for the first time in her life. A real difference to real people in real ways. Or maybe it's sitting down with the parents of a young lad who at 19 years old had been unemployed and out of education for 4 years, got himself in all sorts of tangles and knots, and with the mum in tears and not quite able to talk anymore, and the dad doing the dad thing and keeping his composure, saying to me, the work experience you have given him at the Beacon washing up has changed our son's life. Real impact in real people in real ways. Or maybe it's the fantastic letter we get each month, and it's in your newsletter this week, from Anusaran, a project we can partner alongside to educate women in India and get themselves out of an endless cycle of being dependent on men who perhaps aren't trustworthy, and to give children the chance to learn English and advance in their life. Real impact of real people in real ways. Or maybe it's a fantastic opportunity to gather literally around people when we do on Sunday mornings and see them baptized in that fantastic little baptism pool we have, and see them come out of the water dripping wet, their eyes radiant, and say, I love Jesus! As they sometimes do, but not that often. Real difference to real people in real ways. Because of your time that you give, as much as you have at your stage of life, because of your talent or your competency or your skill that you lend to the church in all sorts of different ways, counting money, doing our HR policies, working out how to line manage people effectively, playing an instrument. Real difference to real people in real ways. Maybe it's because you have an emotional depth and intelligence that means you can stand alongside someone and comfort them and equip them and help them through a particularly traumatic experience in life, perhaps a traumatic experience you have experienced and God has carried you through. And you can stand with someone and make a real difference in a real way, in a real life. Maybe it's because you'll look this year at whether you really need the new car in the next 12 months, or whether actually you could scale down on the holiday and dip sacrificially into your pocket and give into the completion of Sand and Road, or give into the deficit that we have this year. A real difference in a real way in real lives. 16-year-old girls who say, this is the place, the only place I feel safe and cared for. 35-year-old women whose dream comes true and she's training to be an early years practitioner. A young lad whose whole life trajectory is turned around because of work experience we can give him, and his mum is distraught in tears. A project in Anusaran, India, where women's lives are changed forever for the better. We'll never meet them till eternity, and yet you and we have been part of that. Perhaps you have a particular availability, which means you're one of the most fantastic people of all who says, I'll do anything, I've got Friday afternoon free. And Agnes goes, here's a toilet brush. And you say, praise Jesus. See, this morning is about acknowledging and appreciating and realizing the massive impact that God is having in our church, as he has through all churches. To appreciate the fact that you and I are part of that with what we can contribute, and everyone is able to contribute in different ways. And to inform you and to invite you to learn more about the church, we do it just once a year, and say, could you pray, could you contribute, have you got a talent to serve with, a gift that you can put into to complete the whole. And I think the best way to do that, for a few minutes, the best way to say thank you and to say would you join the team, is to show the ultimate value and importance of the church, just briefly. To answer the question, well, why did God create the church in the first place? Because if we get the answer to that right, why does the church exist, then it will shape everything else. It will shape what we do, our actions and our activities and our programs. It will shape what we do in terms of that money, and all told, it's £500,000 that we've been called to steward as a church this year. It will shape how we use our buildings, the two that we've got, and the two that we're in discussions about taking on board in addition over the next couple of years. It will shape how we use our people, and with the inclusion of preschool, that's 18 paid staff, as well as a plethora of volunteers. If we get the question right, why did God create the church in the first place, it will also explain why we do what we do, our priorities and motivations and ambitions and desires and hopes and dreams. And it will also shape, if we get the question right, why did God create the church, how we set about doing it, our manner and our attitude and our approach and our mentality and our style. So what's the answer? Well, over the last few months, we've been journeying through Ephesians. And right at the heart of Ephesians, Paul gives us the answer to the question of why did God create the church. And it is stunning when you think about it. Chapter 3, sentence 10 says this: God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Just ponder that for a moment. That God's intent was that now, at this point in history, now, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. The multifaceted, multicolored, multi-ethnic, multi-wonderful wisdom of God is made known. How? Through the church. So the reason God created the church, the reason that we exist, is to broadcast and poster board and advertise and publicize what God is like. To put God on display in 1,000 different ways. To promote him and to present him. To announce to people who God is. To demonstrate in our way of living. To express, illustrate, or illuminate just how glorious and beautiful and loving and kind and just God is. How will people know what God is like? Through you and I living God out as the church. And so everything we do as individuals in our marriages or in our parenting or in our singleness or with our colleagues at work or with our friends or as citizens in the nation, everything we do, at the heart of it, God is saying, are you putting me on display? In the way you've just acted, in the way you've just behaved, have people got an accurate image of what God is like? And when it comes to us as a church, corporately, it's exactly the same. Our root purpose, the reason fundamentally we exist as a church, is that people might get a taste and a sight of what God is like. So out of every penny we have, we squeeze every possible drop of God-glorifying activity. And how we conduct ourselves, we squeeze every God-honoring drop of love and compassion and justice and righteousness and forgiveness and repentance and truth. It's a bit like, have a brain break for a moment, it's a bit like the purpose of a photograph, isn't it? If I snapped a photograph of Johnny in his dashing jacket and jeans and shirt, I have exactly the same jacket and jeans and shirt, and yet he looks so much better in it than me. What would be the purpose of that photo other than for me to keep in my wallet and look at enviously? What would be the purpose of that photo? The purpose of any photo, a good photo, is to clearly show you what the subject is like, isn't it? What is the purpose of the church? We're just like a photo. We are clearly not God, like a photo is not clearly Johnny, but we are there to show what God is like. And in every single activity and word and thought and action that we take individually and together, that is the purpose of it. Are people seeing God and experiencing him? We're called to magnify him. Change the illustration. Not magnify God like a microscope does, which is to take something very small, isn't it, and make it big. That's not what magnifying God is like. But magnify him like a telescope, which means taking something which is blazing and stunning but distant and bringing it into sight. That's why we exist as a church. And the great reality of that, because the risk is you might say, well, hang on, if our purpose as individuals and as a church is to put God on display, you might say, well, that sounds a little bit egocentric, mightn't you, of God. You might say that sounds a bit self-seeking. How big is God's head that he says to people, your job is to make me look good? That wouldn't be great, would it? And people have wrestled with that question throughout history and come to the conclusion, actually, what is best for us is to make most of God and to put him on display. So a chap called Augustine, who's called one of the church fathers because he basically lived in the first few generations after Jesus, he famously has said this. Some of you may have heard this. He says, you made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Or the Westminster Catechism, which is about 300 or 400 years old, a statement of faith which we as a church would absolutely affirm. It says this, the chief end of humanity is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Do you see what those two people are grasping? That the more we make of God, the better it is for us. The more we glorify God, the more joy we experience because we're living out our purpose, what we were made to be. John Piper, and I used this quote just last week, if you were here. John Piper, much more contemporary than the others, still alive today. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. But he reverses it around and says also, we are most satisfied in life when God is most glorified in us. So the more we live out our purpose as individuals and a church to make much of God, to make the manifold wisdom of God be put on display, the better that is in fact for us. John the Baptist uses a great illustration for this in John chapter 3 of being a best man at a wedding, though it would work if you were a bridesmaid or a maid of honor at a wedding. When is the best man's joy at its highest, if he's a good best man or bridesmaid? The best man's joy is at its fullest when he sits spent and exhausted at the end of the day where the groom has been seen, heard, and made much of. Isn't it? The best man's joy is at its highest when he sits in the corner of the room at the end of the party, shattered from his work, unseen in the darkness, because the groom and the bride have been the center of all attention and everyone has made much of them. And the best man's joy is at its fullest when he is at his lowest and the other is exalted. And John the Baptist says that is what it means to be a Christian. If you want joy as a human being, it's about making little of yourself and much of God. Do you know the phrase John the Baptist finishes that illustration with? He says, this is John 3, sentence 20. John the Baptist says, my joy is now complete. I must decrease so he can increase. And the best thing we can introduce anyone to is joy, isn't it, in their life, which is found in Jesus. And so, second question, the last one, which comes now closes the circle. The second question is, well, if the church's purpose, if our created reason for existing is to make much of God, is to put the manifold wisdom of God on display in how we act, behave, what is the church meant to be like? And in the Bible, there are basically four pictures of the church. They issue in our four values. The first is the church is meant to be a family. We're meant to love one another and love everyone who enters in. How do we show what God is like as a church? By showing what his love is like as a family. 902 times in the New Testament, the church is described as a family. It issues in our value of loving people. That we want to be a place where everyone and anyone can come into our doors, either on a Sunday or our homes, or wherever it might be, and they feel welcomed and embraced, whatever their context, their background, their sexuality, their faith experience. Everybody is welcomed. Everybody is part of the family. Everybody is embraced. Whether or not we can endorse everything that's true about someone, we absolutely endorse them as a person and embrace them into the family. The second image in the Bible is the image of the farm. It's about growing together, that the church needs to be a place holistically, which is progressing, developing, releasing people into all they possibly can be. It issues in our value of being courageous in mission, because particularly when times are tough, a farmer has to diversify and take risks and try things that have never been tried before. So how do we image God and show what God is like in the world? We're courageous in what we do. We want to be growing and developing and being gutsy and audacious and risk takers in seeing that growth happen. How risky and courageous are you in your everyday life? The third image, family farm, the third is the building image. That the church is made up of individual bricks which God brings together and builds into something spectacular and wonderful and fantastic. It's about standing together. And it issues in our value of being Bible saturated, because each time in the Bible that building metaphor is used, it's attached to the reality of holding fast to God's word, the Bible. So you have it in 1 Timothy 3:15, I think, where he says the church is the pillar and the buttress of truth. How do we represent God to the world? By standing clearly on his word and living it out. And the fourth image is of the church as a body. That the church is made up of many individual parts and members, fingernails and ankles and elbows and hearts and etc., 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 and every part of the body is needed for the body to be incomplete. If anything is missing, the body is wounded. And the head of it is Jesus, who rules and leads. And that issues in our value of being spirit-dependent, because right the way through, where we see the image of the body, it's the spirit that holds us together, and the spirit gives us the gifts to contribute to one another. Now, where does that land in terms of asking these questions, what could I give and where could I serve? It lands because in every one of those images of the church, we do it together, don't we? We do it as a community. We do it interdependent upon one another. What makes up a family? Brothers and sisters. What makes up a building? Individual bricks. What makes up a farm? A mass of individual crops, each growing and bearing fruit. What makes up the last image of the body? 1,000 different components, organs, limbs, which finish the whole, each one serving and contributing with the other. And so there's a massive invite this morning, a huge invitation really this morning, to both celebrate the massive contribution I think everyone in this room is involved in some way, almost everyone, but to invite you to find a little bit more about the diversity of what the church gets up to and what we do, and to ask the question, is there a gift or a skill or a competence the church could help you be released into? Is there something you are good at or would like to become good at? Time, talent, money, competence, skill, that the church can help you to really exhibit and use in a way that shows what God is like. And what we're going to do is, there's a whole bunch of people wearing badges. They represent not all, but a lot of the different components that make us as a church. And we'll stop after another song by Johnny in a moment, and we'll have tea, coffee, all available. The kids will stay out right the way through till 12 or 12:05. And I'd love for you to go to talk to the different people who are wearing badges and find out about what they represent and what they are. Here's some of them. Maybe you're someone who can cook. I know some of you can cook because I've tasted your cakes. And maybe you could say, well, actually, once every 3 or 4 months, I could be part of a team that provides lunch on a Sunday so we can have that loving family experience. And you can talk to Matt about that. Matt, could you stand up? I'm going to get you guys wearing badges to stand up one at a time. That's Matt. That's enough standing. Don't you get too tall. Maybe you're someone who naturally is able to talk to people and say, welcome, and it's great to have you, and you're new, and can I talk to you? And you could become part of one of our welcome teams on a Sunday. That's massive, isn't it, as someone comes into church? And if that's the case, you can talk to Sue, who I know is here, but she might be in the kitchen also cooking. Sue, are you there? She's over there. There's Sue. Much more appropriate standing up by Sue. Maybe you're free and you love teenagers, and you're free Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday night, and you'd love to be part of one of our evening groups that work with teenagers and children, ultimately down back at Sandon Road. You could talk to Carol about Girls Brigade. Carol, could you stand up? There's Carol. You could talk to Jane about the marching band on Monday night. There's Jane wearing a t-shirt. She came in uniform. Excellent. Or Colin about the Boys Brigade. That's Colin. So if you want to get involved with teenagers and learn more about how you can help teenagers or pray for the teenagers midweek, then you can talk to those guys. Maybe your interest is at the other end of the spectrum and you enjoy older folk and older friends who are past retirement and plus some. Well, every Monday we get a group together to help them have friendship and enjoy one another's company and learn a little about Jesus. And Mel would love to talk to you. So there's Mel. Up you get, Mel. Stand up for long enough to everyone see you and sit down. Maybe you've got some musical skills or would like to develop some musical skills. Then you could be part of the band that plays on a Sunday. And you can see the smartly dressed Johnny here who's going to stand up. There he is. Thank you, Johnny. Maybe you'd like to be involved in a midweek life group, a smaller group who meet week by week outside of Sundays to encourage each other and pray for each other. Find out more about them by talking to Mary here. And Mary has the most beautiful accent, so you can talk to Mary and just enjoy, especially because Scotland might become independent and we might lose that. I don't know. So maybe you'd love to learn more about how we serve the homeless and the vulnerably homed, which is a fantastic ministry. Over 100 meals a week served by House of Bread on a Wednesday night. 40 to 45 food bags given out every week. Clothes banks running. Masses of advocacy. You can talk to Matt about that as well. Matt's standing up again. Yes, thank you, Matt. Matt, you're on the list once more, so I don't know how you're going to better that. Maybe you can simply say, actually, I'm not really a front of house person or I'm not so good with people, but I've got a strong back and I can contribute in terms of some practical things around the place. Maybe you can clean our buildings. We don't employ a caretaker. We want to squeeze our resources into mission and ministry. And yet a massive part of his mission is when people walk into the building, it's welcoming and clean and smart. So maybe you could help practically. You could see Jeff, who's just walked in the door, about cleaning. Jeff, give us a wave. There he is. Or you could see Martin about kind of fabric and if you're good with a hammer and you can put a nail in straight. Then Martin would love to talk to you. Where is Martin? Martin's at the back. Stay up for a moment, Martin, so everyone can see you. So there's Martin. He might even help you train to be an electrician. If you would like to help out on a Sunday with some of our technology, you know you'd like to learn how to use the sound desk, or you already can use the sound desk, and you can press the buttons and pretend you're on Star Trek, then John, I think you're going to do Light Pro and that kind of things. You're not doing the sound. Martin, is sound also you? And Martin's also the sound desk. I'm sure Simon, who's doing it today, will talk to you as well about it. Simon's just nodding his head. He's not standing up. What about children and messy church? Now, this is a huge one. I worked out over a month during term time. We're not far off engaging with about 800 children over the course of a month, under 11, both in their school life on Sundays here and in messy church. So if you'd like to find out more about that, then Ruth is the lady to talk to. There's Ruth at the back. So everyone turn around and see Ruth so you know who Ruth is because she's hiding away at the back there. So talk to Ruth. Or maybe a bit older and you'd like to learn about what we do with teenagers on a Sunday and beyond just the midweek stuff. So you can talk to Roberta. Roberta, stand up. Roberta's our new youth teenage intern who we met last week. So you can talk to Roberta about that. Now, did you know 2,500 people use this building every week? Did you know that? 2,500 people use this building. I don't mean every week. I mean every month. Thank you, Jeff. I caught that before Jeff did. It was like that. No! 2,500 people a month use this building, cafe, conferencing, all getting to taste and see that the Lord is good. Crucial to that is our staff, including Bob here. So Bob, who's going to stand up and also be too tall for my liking. Bob, talk to Bob about how you could contribute or be part of the team midweek here. Could you cut the grass? Could you cut the grass? Massively important that when people turn up, actually what buildings look like is presentable and welcoming. Alf would love to talk to you about grass cutting. Oh, right. Jeff, the wrong generation would so misinterpret that. But Jeff will talk to you about grass if you want. There we go. Jeff has no idea what I'm talking about. What about chaplaincy? We offer three and in conversations with a fourth chaplaincy role within the town, supporting people in their workplace or when they're in need. So again, you can talk to Matt. How are you going to better yourself, Matt? Standing up? Johnny's shoulders. I don't think health and safety would allow that. But you can talk to Matt about chaplaincy. Prayer. Now, this is huge. Underpin it all in prayer. So you might say, well, all these things you're saying, Alex, just is not me. But could you pray for all that goes on in the church? Bring spiritual life into it. And Maureen would love to talk to you. So there's Maureen standing just there. Finances, help us with all our bookkeeping. We have a team of people who keep a sight on that £500,000 or so that we're responsible for this year, who map the deficit and make sure it's within our planned and deliberate process that our reserves can cover to meet that deficit. You could talk to Stuart. Stuart, could you just stand up? There's Stuart. Make sure you give Stuart a length of time you are available to talk to him, because Stuart can talk quite passionately. Can I get away with that, Stuart? Just about. Administration, 1,000 tasks administratively keep the mission and ministry of the church on track and online. I think, Jeff, you'll talk to anyone about administration and those sorts of things as well, won't you? Media and our website, constantly bringing up that up to spec, constantly people are engaging with online ministry and those sorts of things. Steve, over there, of Lilac Films. Stand up, Steve. You're not going to get away just with a hand waggle. There's Steve. I would love to talk to you about that. Men's and women's ministry. You can talk to Carol about women's ministry just over here. You can talk to Matt about men's ministry. Matt, you're busy, aren't you? Yeah. Good. Earning your keep every day. And last but not least is Alpha, this great course where you can engage in and discover who Jesus is. And you'll see a little invitation. It starts on Tuesday. Invitation in your newsletter. You could give to a friend or bring yourself to come along for that. And you can talk to either Bob or Jan. I guess either of you would be happy. Jan, could you stand up as well? So Jan would love to talk to you about Alpha and whether you could be part of it in terms of helping, providing a meal, or come along and join the course and all the rest of it. So there's just a taste. So I hope you're really encouraged. It's a different kind of Sunday. It's not our normal rhythm. But it's a chance to say, God made the church to put himself on display. He's given this massive mandate to the church in the language of Ephesians, that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God was going to be made known. The way he does that is as we live as his people, serving, contributing, giving in whatever way we can, whether it's through finances. And a little goes a long way, but also some of you, some of us, for whatever reason, we have jobs and incomes, stages of life, where we could substantially give to the legacy of the mission and ministry of the church. Maybe it's in emotional energy you have, and you know that you can absorb another's problems and carry their burden with them. Maybe it's simply in a strong back that can push a mower and clean a window. Every bit completes us as a whole. Every bit is building God's kingdom. Every bit is placing God on display. And every single one of us has something to contribute, big or small. Stage of life affects it. Health affects it. Other responsibility affects it. But no one here for a moment, even if it's just your first or second Sunday, even if you're not sure who Jesus is and you haven't committed to him yet, even if you strolled in off the door and thought you were coming to the cinema and got confused and walked into the wrong auditorium, it doesn't matter. You have something we need. You have something we need. Please, please, today, offer it. And I guarantee you'll receive more than you give, ultimately. Not least because Jesus will say to you, remember that service, remember that Sunday? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone with a badge to stand in a really long line all the way down here, spread out, so you know where the badge people are. We're not going to worship together again because of time, but the band, if you could come up and play background for the next 15 minutes of worship, so you can sit and pray to the music if you want. Otherwise, get yourself a tea and coffee and go talk to someone and find out about their aspect of the church and the life of the church. And I'll sort that in a bit.